Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
I want to read to you a funny, and maybe you've heard it before, but I'll read it to you anyways. There was this young boy, and he went to a local store with his mom. And the shop owner was this kind man, and he passed him a large jar of lollipops, and he invited him to help himself to a handful. And so uncharacteristically, the boy kind of held back and he was a little hesitant. And so the shop owner pulled out a handful and gave them to him. And when outside, the boy's mom asked why he had suddenly been so shy and he wouldn't take a handful of those lollipops when they were offered to him. And the boy replied, "Because his hand is much bigger than mine." Smart kid, amen. If you'll allow me for a few moments this morning, I want to share a story with you from the Bible about blessing and cursing. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible says to choose this day, to choose life or to choose death, to choose blessing or to choose curses. Amen? And there's this story in the book of Numbers chapter 22, and we'll read it in just a second, but there's a story in Numbers chapter 22 and 23 that is kind of a peculiar story because it is one that's talking about blessing and cursing, and it's this moment where God's people were already delivered from Egypt, but yet they were going from city to city. They were going, if you will, from glory to glory. And the Bible speaks of Balaam, and it speaks of some different people in this story. But the point of the story is this, is that God's people were about to enter into a new realm of blessing. They were about to conquer another city. And how many of you know that when there's about to be a breakthrough in your life, the enemy will always try to step in. He's always going to try to get in the way and stop what God is trying to do. Amen? And so we see in this story that there's this opposition that rises up against him in this moment, in these moments, and there's these curses that the enemy tries to put on God's people. And so I want us to read this story in Numbers chapter 22, starting in verse 1. It says, "Then the Israelites traveled to the plains of Moab, and they camped along the Jordan River across from Jericho." So they were about to get to this promised land of Jericho. And it says, "Now Balak, son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites." How many of y'all know what Israel had done to the Amorites? They whooped him. Israel, being God's children, being the people of God, went into this territory and they sent these people just fleeing. That was, God gave them a place to conquer and they conquered it. So having seen already this previous thrashing, if you will, this king now has understood that these people are coming and they mean business. It's kind of like when you wake up in the morning and you begin to worship God and you begin to bless on the name of the Lord. Guess what? The devil knows you mean business. Amen? But if you don't wake up and you don't pray and you don't worship, and then guess what? The devil's like, they're just a sleeping giant. So right here, the Bible says that they had seen what Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was terrified. They were terrified. They're like, oh man, they're coming to town. It says, because there were so many people. Indeed, Moab was filled with dread because of the Israelites. It says, the Moabites said to the elders of Midian, "This horde is going to lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field." So Balak, son of Zippor, who was with the king of Moab at that time, it says, sent messengers to summon Balaam, son of Beor, who was at Pethor near the river in his native land. And Balak says this, "A people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the land, and they have settled next to me." He says, "Now come and put a curse on these people, because they are too powerful for me." He says, "So perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the country." He says, "For I know that those you bless are blessed, and those you curse are cursed." And it says, "The elders of Moab and Midian left, and they were taking with them the fee for divination." And what this was this was literally a moment of witchcraft, a moment of sorcery. They were trying to put a curse on God's people. Because this king had already seen what was done before them. And all of a sudden, their eyes are open, and they said, "There's no way we're going to defeat him." He knew he was doomed. He knew he was in for. He knew that his city was about to be conquered by the people of God. And so this fear came over his life, and he said, if I can't beat them in the flesh, if they're going to destroy us, then I'm going to try to beat them in the spirit. I'm going to try to put a curse over their life. I'm going to try to put something on them that they can't get off of themselves because it's in the spirit. And so it goes on to say, it says, he was given this fee for divination, which was witchcraft. It says, when they came to Balaam, they told him what Balak had said. Spend the night here, Balaam says to them. He says, and I will bring you back the answer the Lord gives me. So the Moabite princes stay with him. And God came to Balaam and asked, who are these men with you? Balaam said to God, Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent me this message. A people that has come out of Egypt covers the face of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me. Perhaps then I will be able to fight them and drive them away. But God said to Balaam, do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed. Everybody say, I am blessed. Amen. Why don't we pray for the word of the Lord this morning? Holy Spirit, we love you. And we just pray this morning, Lord, that it's your word that is spoken, God. It is your word, Father, that, Lord, pierces hearts, Father. May my words fall to the ground, Lord. And may every single word, Lord, be received by the hearts in this room. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. How many of you know that the enemy gets bothered when we're camping close to our promised land? I said the enemy gets a little bit upset when you're about to receive something that God has planned and he has prepared for you. He's going to get upset. He's going to want to kick and scream and attack, and he's going to want to do anything that he can to deter you and to stop you from receiving that which God has for you. He gets upset. He gets intimidated whenever you are near a breakthrough, whenever you're near a blessing. I've said it before. I'll say it again. There's always an opposition before outpour. That means that the enemy is always going to try to bring some kind of curse before God's about to do something in your life. It's this last-ditch effort, if you will, from the enemy to try to make you fall. It's this last grasp for him to try to get you to trip up and not receive that which God has for you. And there's going to be somebody that's going to try to sell you out to rob your blessing. This is exactly what's going on. Balaam is this guy caught in the middle, and he's this guy that has been sent to put a curse on God's people. But God stops Balaam. God gets in the way, and God says, don't touch him, man. Don't put a curse on him. And Balaam, all the time, he's thinking about what? That little fee that he's got in his hand. He's thinking about how he just got paid. He's about to try to curse the people of God because he got something in his hand. How many of you remember Judas? Think he did the same thing. You see, and there's always going to be an attack from the enemy because somebody is out to rob you of your blessing. And the enemy will use anybody that he can get his hands on to try to stop what the Lord has for your life. And so, church, there's this unseen warfare that's going on behind the scenes. There's this unseen realm that is going on in your life that maybe you can't see it because the person's not, you know, right in front of you, but there's a curse that's trying to be put on your life. There is something the enemy is trying to do, and so this warfare is conducted by the evil spirits of darkness, evil spirits who serve under a supreme power that the Bible identifies as Satan. Ephesians chapter 6, you know the verse. Verse 11 and 12 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. What's a scheme? It's a plan. He's trying to take you out. He's got a plan that he's trying to execute in your life. But if you believe that God has a plan for your life, then you better understand that the enemy does too. And that's exactly what this verse is pointing to. It goes on to say in verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the where? In the heavenly realms. You say, what? There's evil in the heavenly realms. Yeah, I guarantee that the enemy is trying to attack somebody in this room right now. Why? We're not in this place where it's just this safe haven, church. Though the church of God is a place of refuge, guess what? The enemy's trying to do everything he can right now to tune my voice out and the Holy Spirit's voice out in your life today. So understand that just because you are a child of God and you say you are blessed doesn't mean that there's not a battle that you've got to fight. Amen? It doesn't mean that there's something that you've got to say, hey, you know what? I need to fight back. How many of you know that the enemy wants to frustrate your life? Anything he can do to spoil God's plan in your life, he will try to do. Evil spirits, they seek to cut the heart of God by cutting out God's people from his plan. There's nothing that pains the heart of God more, church, than when the people of God don't listen and when the people of God don't obey. This, I believe, is something that is piercing. It cuts the heart of the Lord because the heart of the Lord longs to see his children love him and longs to see his children please him. And so the way that the enemy seeks to hurt God is by taking over the normal desires and the passions of men and using them to destroy his people. That is, they use the passions that enslave people like greed, drugs, alcohol, gluttony, lust, cravings, vulgarity, profanity, abuse, killing, all these things under the power of darkness so that the enemy can have his way. This is how Balaam was tempted. This is what was going on in his life. And so I want to refresh your memory. Israel now is camped in the plains of Moab, and they are right next to the Jordan River across from this great city of Jericho. God had given them this land. This was a land that they had claimed for themselves. And the Bible goes on to say that in Numbers 22 that this was going to be a place of victory for these children. But victory doesn't come until you get there, amen? And then a new battle starts. That's basically the way it works. But the truth is that their enemy now is plotting to have them cursed. And I want us to keep this in mind, that Israel is completely unaware of what's happening. But how many of you know that my God never sleeps nor slumbers? You see, there's nothing that gets beyond the sight of our God, church. You don't even realize it, that the enemy could have an arrow pointed at your back right now. He could have arrows pointed at your children today. But guess what? The Lord is a mighty warrior, church, who goes before us. And he fights our battles. He gets in the way. He says, no, no, no. You're not going to touch my children today. These children of God had a target on their back. Unseen. They had no idea. Isaiah 54:17 says that no weapon forged against you will prevail. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you, because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. John 10:29 says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. You see, church, he's not going to allow anyone to touch you. But it doesn't mean that the arrow is not going to be pointed there. I said, it doesn't mean that the target's not going to be there. It doesn't mean that the weapon's not going to rise up against you. It just means that it's not going to prevail. The Israelites are right there at this place of blessing. They're right there at this point of being able to cross into this promised land. They're right where God wants them to be. And it would only be like the enemy to show up in that final hour, right in that moment before they're about to receive everything that God has for them. There's this picture of excitement, I believe, for the Israelites, because they are, it's the night before Christmas, man. I mean, it's the night before they're about to receive this blessing. I can imagine that they're, camped around, that area, and they're excited. They're talking about how tomorrow they're going to go to Jericho, how tomorrow they're going to receive that blessing. How many of you talk and dream about the blessings of God that he has for your life? Amen. When you talk about it, church, you're speaking it out into existence. Amen. Just because you don't have the house that you want today doesn't mean that it's not on its way. Amen? Just because you don't have the car that you need today doesn't mean that God's not going to provide. That's the way my God works. And so just because you can't see the end result doesn't mean that he is not already moving you towards the blessing. This is what the Lord does. And these people, they're excited in their hearts. There's joy in their life because they know something's about to shift and something's about to change. But the enemy does everything that he can in his power to get in the way. So this news strikes fear into King Balak and his people. And the Bible says that they were terrified. They were greatly distressed and they were filled with dread because the Israelites were about to conquer once again. God's children were about to move into this realm of blessing once again. They were terrified. It was a horrifying fear. And I believe that in this moment, they thought if they could outman the armies of Israel, if they could conquer them in the flesh, then they would try to beat them in spirit. This is what's happening right now. They're trying to figure out a way. They're scrambling to find a way to defeat them. And so after days of consultation and consideration, there was plans, and that king and his official came up with a devious plot. They'd offer Balaam some money so that he could curse the people of God. This false prophet, this diviner, needed a severe warning, and he was a man who earned money the wrong way by dishonesty. And so he earned a living by playing off the fears and the sufferings and the hopes of people claiming to have this answer to whatever they wanted or needed. It was Balaam that thought he could bless a person and he would be blessed, and he could curse a person and he would be cursed. And he could help people and give them exactly what they needed, for this help was that he was to receive that fee, and it was a large fee because of his reputation. So the king seeks him out, and he's desperate, and he says, "The Israelites are too powerful for me without the help of gods." So there was no hope for victory unless the gods helped him by cursing them and by blessing his own military forces. So he summons one of these famous diviners of his time, one of these famous warlocks of his time, because he believed that the gods would give him favor. He believed that if Balaam, church, could just pronounce a curse upon the Israelites, that some kind of supernatural event would take them out. Numbers chapter 22 and verse 11, let's keep on going. It says, "So a people that has come out of Egypt covers the face of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me," is what he asks. He says, "Perhaps then I will be able to fight them and drive them away." Verse 12 says, "But God says to Balaam, do not go with them, and you must not put a curse on those people." You see, God spoke an identity over your life. I want you to know this. God spoke an identity over your life has to be believed by you. I said, his spoken identity on your life has to be believed by you, church. You have to understand that even though the enemy is plotting evil against you, it doesn't change who you are in him, and that is, you are blessed. "I don't feel it, Pastor. It doesn't make a difference. You are blessed." "Well, yeah, but yesterday was really horrible. You don't know what I went through." It doesn't make a difference. If God says you are blessed, then you are what? I said, if God says you are blessed, then you're what? This is who God is. And so Balaam thinks right now that he's heard from God. And so still he travels with the princes of Moab. He heard from God. God told him what not to do. And what does he do? He's like, he just sees money. That's all that he does. He just sees something. He just sees something that he can sell out the people of God for. And so still he begins to travel with the princes of Moab. And so the Lord gets upset. And he places an angel with his sword drawn in front of Balaam and his donkey. And the donkey responds by running off the road and turning off the road. And Balaam now is angry and he is upset because this donkey is not allowing him to get his money. How many of you know that God can use anybody? I said, God can use anybody. Let's read this. Verse 24. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between two vineyards with walls on both sides. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot so that it pushed foot against it." It says, so he beat her again. Now he's upset. "The angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she laid down under Balaam. And he was so angry that he hit her with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth." Say, God can use anybody. He can speak to you through a donkey. Just look at your dog. He might say something to you one of these days. Okay? "Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, 'What have I done to make you beat me these three times?' And as if this is not weird enough, Balaam answers the donkey, 'You have made a fool of me, and if I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now.' And the donkey said to Balaam, Am I not your own donkey, which has been, which you have always ridden to this day? He says, have I not been in the habit of doing this to you? No, he says. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. And so he bowed low and he fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. And the donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away, I would have certainly killed you by now. But I would have spared her. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. And I did not realize that you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back. And the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but speak only what I tell you. So Balaam went back to the princes of Balak. You see, God can even speak through those plotting against his people. You see, it was Balaam that was about to try to put a curse on the people of God because of money, because of a fee, because of some kind of power for himself. But the Lord will encounter these people, church. He'll put anybody in the way. He'll put an angel of the Lord in the way with his sword drawn, saying, you're not going to touch my people. You're not going to curse my people. And he can even change the very words of this person that was trying to curse the people of God. He can even change the very words of that person to become blessings instead of curses. The Bible says, church, that today is the day of salvation. And guess what? Not everybody in this world believes like you do. But the Bible does say that one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, it doesn't matter how much of a devil they are. It doesn't matter how much they curse God. It doesn't matter how much they seem far away from God. The Bible says that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Numbers 23 and 8 goes on to say, he goes, how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? He met his match. Said, how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced? From the rocky peaks, I see them. From the heights, I view them. I see a people who live apart and do not consider themselves one of the nations. He says, who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel? He says, let me die the death of the righteous and may my end be like theirs. Amen. He says, I don't want to die the death of a guy that's cursing people. I want to die the death of the righteous. Amen. I want to be like one of God's own. I want to be like one of God's people. Brother Limas, come here. The Bible mentions Jacob. How many of you know who Jacob was? Do you know the name for Jacob? The Bible says that Jacob was what? He was a trickster. And what Jacob was doing, he was caught wrestling with an angel of the Lord. Remember that? He was caught wrestling with an angel of the Lord, and he was trying to get something. He was trying to move the heart of God. He was trying to do something in God's life, and he was trying to get God and force God's hand. And the Bible says that the Lord touched his hip. When all of a sudden he went from battling God and being against God, he had to lean on God. You see, there's a big difference, church. There's a big difference that God can touch anybody. Thank you, brother. God can touch anybody in that moment. And he can change their complete outcome. They can go from being the person that's against God, that's wrestling against God, that's speaking against God's people, and all of a sudden, with the touch of the hand of the master, they can be turned completely around. This is the way that God works. Jacob's name was changed to what? To Israel. To what? A child of God. A child of God. And I want to remind somebody in this room today, it doesn't matter how far lost you may think somebody else is, or it doesn't matter how lost you may even think that you are, God can change you into a child of God. I said he can change your life into a child of God. He can speak through those that were plotting against his people. See, God refuses in this moment to let Balaam curse his people. Instead, God takes control of this guy's tongue. And he makes him seven astounding prophecies about his people. How many of you know that the enemy trembles knowing who you are in God, church? I said, the enemy trembles at that sight. Numbers 23 and 11 says, Balak says to Balaam, what have you done to me? I brought you to curse my enemies, but you have done nothing but bless them. You've done nothing but bless them. The first prophecy in verses 1 through 12 was the blessing of God's people. The second prophecy was the source of blessing, which was God himself in verses 13 through 26. The third one was a picture of how God blesses his people in verses 27 and verse 24. The fourth prophecy was a picture of the coming deliverer in verses 14 through 19. The fifth prophecy was a picture of victory over the greatest of enemies in verse 20. The sixth prophecy was a picture of the greatest fortresses of the enemy being defeated in verses 21 and 22. And the seventh prophecy was a picture of God's judgment against all whose cup was full of iniquity in verses 23 through 25. And so if God can use a donkey to tell you your enemy who you are, then you better believe the promises that God has made over your life, church. This is a fact. This is it. God used this guy, Balaam, and he turned his life completely around with just a touch. He turned his life around with just a moment of encounter. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are what? Yes, in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. It says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anoints us, he sets his seal of ownership on us, and he put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. This is the goodness of our God. This is the goodness of our God. How many of you are still waiting on a promise for God to fulfill in your life? Then just say amen. Then just say amen, because it's coming. It's coming. It's going to happen. And so I'm here to tell somebody that the enemy has been scheming and plotting to destroy you while you weren't looking. But God has put an angel of the Lord in front of him. And he's turning their curses from their mouth into blessings, because this is something that only God can do. Would you bless his name this morning? You need not fear, church, if you're under attack. Just know that when you're sure that you're absolutely blessed by God, it brings a reminder to the enemy that he is defeated in Jesus' name. There's this awesome verse in Philippians chapter 1 and 28, and it says, in not way of being terrified by your adversaries, it says, which is to them proof of perdition, that is destruction. It says, but to you it's salvation, and that comes from God. You see, for those of us who are in Christ, we can be sure today that we are blessed and not cursed, no matter what the enemy says. Every time we say no to fear, the enemy is reminded that he is defeated. Every time that we say no to the schemes and the lies that the enemy tries to bring up in this world and in your life, guess what? The enemy is reminded that he is defeated. The moment that you put your shoes on today and you said, I'm going to come into the house of the Lord because I need to hear a word of God, the enemy said, no, they're going to find out about that Jesus. They're going to find out about the name above all names. Yeah, that's right, you are. You see, it bothers him every single time God's people draw near to the Lord. The enemy knows, church, if he can't have the blessings of God, the only thing he can try to do is curse his children. His chance is over. He lost his opportunity. But you don't have to lose yours. I have too many flaws to be perfect, but as much as the enemy tries to focus on our Egypt, church, we've got way too many blessings to be ungrateful. Amen? I said, you got way too many things in your life that God has done for you to be ungrateful in your life. I'm blessed not because I've done some good works, but because of the work of my blessed Redeemer. Amen? That's a fact. If God calls you blessed, then stop living like you're under a curse, because you are a child of God. They got it. I don't know about you. Jesus became the curse so that you could live healed, free of sin, prospered, blessed, and walk as examples of the goodness of God in this world. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 2 says, all of these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city. and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. It says your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. It says you will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. It says the Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. It says then they will come at you from one direction, but they will flee from you in seven. It says then the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything that you have put your hand to. It says the Lord your God will bless you in this land that he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he's promised you an oath. It says if you keep his commands of the Lord and Lord your God and walk in his ways. It says, then all the peoples on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your ground. In the land that he swore to give your forefathers, it says, the Lord will open the heavens and the storehouse of his beauty to send rain on your land in season and bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. It says, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. It says, so do not turn aside from any commands that I give you today to the right or to the left, following other gods or serving them. You see, if you are blessed, then shout amen. Amen. I believe that you're blessed. If the enemy is defeated, then shout amen. I said, if the enemy is defeated, then shout amen. Amen. See, it doesn't matter if dad was never in your life. You're blessed by a father that loves you. Amen. Amen. I said, it doesn't matter if you were an illegitimate child, that you've been adopted into the family of God. Amen. Amen. It doesn't matter if you were the least likely to succeed. God has been your success. Amen. Amen. It doesn't matter if you were once hopeless, because you are now hope-filled. Amen. You see, your background and your backstory and your history don't change his story and what God has done in your life, whom he's blessed and who he will bless. He's blessed, church, and the curses that the enemy tries to put back on God's people have been broken once and for all and forever. And so somebody in this room needs to believe the word of God over your life. You need to believe this today. The enemy's sole job in this life, church, is to try to get you to believe a lie. That's all he does. The Bible says that he is the father of lies. He masquerades as an angel of light. He tries to portray himself as something that can be, something that has power or something that has control over your life. Anytime the enemy is trying to get in your way to rob you of a blessing, he's going to puff himself up and make himself appear as though he is this giant that is undefeatable. But how many of you know, church, a rock and a sling with faith can overcome any single giant with a sword and a shield? You see, that's the word of the Lord for your life. It doesn't matter what curse stands before you, church. It's knowing that you have the backing of heaven. Knowing that greater is he that is in your life than greater is he that is in this world. Knowing that the Holy Spirit that lives in your life, church, is more powerful than any spirit that would try to come upon your life. That is the word of the Lord for your life. We are blessed because Jesus took our curse. I said we are blessed because Jesus paid for our curse. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. That is, he broke the law. He said, listen, you don't have to live by all these commandments. You know, the Israelites and God's people back then, they had over 800 commandments. Good luck. Try getting into heaven, you know, finishing all that stuff. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ, he broke the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Verse 14 says, but he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. That's those of us. Through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. You see, some of you might be thinking, how can I be blessed if I don't have a lot? Or how can I be blessed if I'm still in a season of lack or need? You see, it's all determined by your trust in him. By the faith that you have said, I've fully surrendered myself to God. By the level that you are willing to steward the seed and the season that God has given you today. I know people that complain daily and they say, man, I'll never have this or I'll never have that. And guess what? They're doing nothing about it. You're going to be there for a long time. I said, if you're doing nothing about it, man, you're going to be there a long time. But if you say, God, you've given me this seed. You've given me this season to steward. God, I don't know why it's this today, but all I know, God, is that I'm going to do everything as unto you. Shortly after the Lord called me into ministry, you want to know what my first job was? Cleaning the church. Scrubbing toilets. Throwing trash. Mopping the floors. Vacuuming the carpet. Oh, but God, you called me to do that over there. And God says, yeah, but this is where you start. This is the seed. This is the season. This is where I have you, son. Don't worry about what you're going to get to. Worry about where you are. Worry about what's in front of you today. You see, every great tree that produces fruit doesn't bear fruit overnight, church. It's not strong enough to bear it when it's just a little seed in the ground. But I thought it was an orange tree. Yeah, but it starts somewhere. And you might not see the blessing where God wants to get you or even how far he's going to take you. But what you need to do in this season is be present where you are. And you need to say, God, I'm giving myself fully to you now. I'm giving myself fully to you today, God. I am fully surrendered, Lord. Because that promise that may not yet have come, it will come. But I need to be faithful with what you've given me today. Because if I'm faithful with the little, then I'll be entrusted to be faithful with what? With much. You see, I believe the Lord right now has somebody, you're thinking about this. You've been saying, Pastor Duke, you talk about blessing, and I want to be blessed. And listen, be faithful in the season that you're in today. Be faithful. Be faithful. There's something about being faithful and being steadfast. You see, God's not looking for Christians that are on fire one day and they're frozen as ice the next. It's about being in a walk and a relationship with God. It's about daily walking with him. If I told you that I would be where I'm standing today, you know, 15, 17 years ago when I started, I would have never imagined it. Not in a million years. But God promotes people through what? Faithfulness. You don't have the ability to move that season on your own, but he always does. He just needs you to be faithful in the season that you're in. See, the job that you don't really like could be a stepping stone into something greater, but unless you work like you're working for the Lord, he cannot take you beyond where your belief is. We're blessed to be a blessing. Amen. When Jesus healed in Mark chapter 15, let me read this to you. As Jesus was getting into the boat, there was a man who had been demon-possessed, and he begged to go with him. And Jesus did not let him. Let me back up. There was a man who had been demon-possessed. Okay? That means that Jesus delivered him. Okay? He was demon-possessed, and he begged to go with him. And Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. You see, this guy was completely freed. He was captive, man. He was lost. He was controlled by a power that was not his own. It wasn't the Spirit of God. He was possessed by a demon. And Jesus said, hey, you know what? You could go with me and you could stay with me and all that. But you know what? I've got something a little more important. I want you to tell them the source of the blessing. I want you to tell them about the source of where you were freed from. Because the last thing that I'm sure people remember him as was this demon-possessed guy that was gnashing his teeth and he was uncontrollable and it was probably a very violent and scary sight for some, but now he has been completely changed and redeemed. And imagine that if there was this demon-possessed person, they were walking about the streets and you saw them and you knew that's how their behavior was, but all of a sudden God had completely turned them around and they told you that their source was God. How many of you would go, wow, whoa. Who? Jesus? Really? Maybe I need to get to know this Jesus for myself. And for those of us who have received the blessings of the Lord, the question is, what are you doing with them? What are you doing with them? The abundance of heaven is too much to contain, and that's why the Lord said, as freely as you've received, freely give. I pray that every single day, church, our blessings are used for our neighbor's good. Amen? Not just to make our storehouses bigger. Not just to make our own provided for. But knowing, church, that there's somebody in this world that has not yet tasted of the goodness of God. And you are that branch. You are that extension in their life. Because you're connected to the vine, God's made you that branch that can reveal the fruit of the goodness of God in your life. It can show them that Jesus is still at work, that he's still risen, that he still lives, that he's still transforming lives, that he's still changing people. And so for those of you who have yet to trust in Jesus, the question is, why are you waiting? Dare I say that there's somebody in this place this morning that has yet to give your heart to Jesus, then I have to be truthfully and honest with you. You cannot live under the blessings of heaven unless he's taken that curse off of your life. I said, you cannot live under the blessings of heaven unless he's taken that curse off of your life. And Jesus paid the price that none of us could have paid by giving his perfect and his sinless life for our sins. And all that he is asking for you today is this, is that you would invite him into your heart and his kingdom inside of your life so that you could be free from the curses of the enemy, so that you could be free from death, hell, and the grave, and to live to be a blessing for others. And so with every head bowed in this place this morning, I want us to pray. Maybe there is somebody in this room today that has heard my voice. And you're saying, Pastor Duke, I want to be free. I want to know what it's like to be blessed. I want to know what it's like to be forgiven. I want to know what it's like to be changed and healed. If that's you today, then I'm going to ask that you lift up your hand to heaven. Because I believe the Lord has a blessing up for your life greater than one that you could ever imagine. Anyone in the house of the Lord this morning, you want to say yes to Jesus today. Thank you, Jesus. I pray this morning, Father, that your people know, God, that as good as it is to talk about us receiving what you have for us, you've always given us a measure, Father, to be a blessing in this world. So, church, would you stand this morning? The Bible says, unless we are born again, we cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Amen? How many of you are born again today? Amen? Praise God. Then listen, I believe the word of the Lord for you this morning is this, is to be a blessing to somebody. It starts today. I said, be a blessing to somebody. It starts today. You're going to go with your families to go eat a meal. You're going to go to a restaurant. You're going to go into your homes, to your neighborhoods. Listen, bless somebody. I said, bless somebody. Show them the goodness of the Lord. Show them the goodness and the faithfulness of God in your life. Say, Pastor Duke, well, I don't know. Well, you know, hey, listen, don't put any limitations on the Spirit. Bless that person that you think has and wants nothing to do with God and watch how they react. The Bible says that there is a love in the love of God that cannot be contained. Love conquers what? All. And when you go out of your way to share the love that you found with somebody that doesn't know that love, it breaks them down in such a way that they could have never imagined. Say, really? Why would you do this for me? See, every time I look up to heaven and I know what my Savior did for my life, I say, really? I wasn't worthy. You didn't have to do that for me. But I'm grateful. Amen. Ushers, would you come as we get ready to partake of communion? I want us to just sing that one more time. DJ, go ahead. The Lord has been so faithful to us. He has been so faithful in every single way. In church, you are blessed not to be blessed on your own. You are blessed to be a blessing. So with every hand lifted in this room, I want us to sing. Go ahead. ahead, ushers.
With every breath that I am made, oh, I will see of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so
Spirit, we are grateful today that we are blessed, Lord. And so, Father God, Lord, no matter what the enemy tries to do, God, he is defeated once and for all, Lord. And Father, may your children stand and believe, God, every word that comes out of your mouth, Lord, over their life. May we stand, Father God, and never falter, God, in knowing, Lord, who you have called us to be, Lord. If you call us blessed, Father God, then we are blessed, Jesus. Remind us of these truths, Father God, every single day, Lord. Every single day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Are we ready? The Bible says, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. It says that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please take the bread. Thank you, Jesus. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. He says, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Please take the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus, we are awaiting your return, Lord. Father, we are awaiting that glorious day, Father, when you will split the eastern sky, Father. And Lord, you will take your people, God, to be with you forever, Lord. But while we are on this earth, Jesus, Lord, today is the day, God, to believe, God. And today is the day, Father, to move in faith, God. And so, Lord, let nothing shake your children, God. Let nothing, Father God, Lord Jesus, come against them, Father God, Lord, to drive them away from you, Lord. But, Father, I believe the love of your Holy Spirit, God, is stronger, God, than any pull, God, than any tug from the enemy, Lord. And so, Father, we will, Father, uphold your word, God. We will be those, God, that, Lord, are people, God, that reveal your kingdom to this world, Father, every single day, Jesus, until you come. Because you're too good, God, to contain. I said, you're too good to contain for ourselves. If you love him, then praise him today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. And amen and amen. How many of you are blessed to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.